Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus of Mount Calvary. And though the waves roll high, clouds are shadowed, the sky, oh, he's the master of blue Galilee. Clouds are shadowed, the sky, oh, he's the man.
message today. The blessings of the Lord that's raining down in this place. Hallelujah! I thank Him. I don't understand where it comes. I don't even need. You know, some people are investigators. You know, they have to know exactly how everything works before they believe in it. But you know what? I don't know how this works. But I believe it. I feel it. Praise my God for it. I praise my God for it. That song, Tears Are Language, that God understands. And I don't cry a lot outwardly. You know, like I don't hug outwardly. You know how I don't. You know, I don't express things that way. That's just not my makeup. But you know what? I cry inside. I feel it deep down inside, and I know that God understands it all. And I thank the Lord. I was thinking that song this morning. I don't need to understand. I just need to hold on to His hand. I just need to keep striving, keep working, keep coming, keep growing. If I'll just keep doing that, God will do all the rest. And I thank Him for it. I praise Him. I thank Him for His. I know He's a miracle-working God, Sister Ines. We was talking on yesterday about miracles. And my brother, I got this one brother. Y'all probably haven't met him. He's been in this church back when Brother Goforth was coming through in the old building evangelizing. And every time he thinks of this church, he thinks Brother Goforth. You know, that's his example of this church, you know. And he'll call and he'll say something like, back then he'll say, did Grandma, he calls her mom, go out in the mailbox and get that letter from so-and-so, and it will be 2 days later that letter will come in. So he would say, I mean, he has these seance type things, only he doesn't do it, but he has that kind of spirit, you know. So he would say, just different things, and I promise you, it would happen. And then he'd be cussing and going on that fast. Well, I'm going to hang this phone up in just a minute. You'll stop this cussing. I can't listen to this. This morning he was telling me about there's curses in the Bible. I said, yeah, curse. C-U-R-S-E. They curse, not cuss. C-U-S-S. Are you cussing? Anyway, he would go ahead and he'd be saying these words, you know, but he'd be telling me about what was happening. I said, all right, keep on. I'm going to hang the phone up. I don't care in Chicago where you, I'm going to hang the phone up. So this morning he was telling me, early this morning, I guess I was between sleep and awake, because he called, he said, you up? I'm thinking, what? And he said, I called Mamie, that's my older sister, and I asked her, and she says, well, if I wasn't up, I am now. Because he'd wake you up, and he'd go on and on. But you know, this morning he was telling me something and about him, he's going to go to this Pentecostal church that he helped to remodel. But every time I think about that, when I think how back that far, and the brother, you know, when Brother Goforth used to come in that old church, and he still remember that. And I thought about God can touch whomsoever He will, wherever He wants to, whenever He wants to, if He wants to. And I thought about, you know, the number of people that's been through these doors. You know, God is still blessing me every day that He allows me to walk through those doors. You know, He haven't blinded me. He hadn't pulled the shades on my eyes. You know, I talk to, you know, I talk. Everybody know I talk. To anybody and everybody. So it doesn't matter to me. You know, there are different ones, you know, that's not been in this church for years and years. But whenever they see me, you know, they want to have a conversation. Brother Payne, you know, doesn't matter. They haven't seen me in 40 years back. This guy I was talking to Friday night, I hadn't seen him in 45 years. He was ready to talk. I mean, you know, and I was thinking, you know, that might just be a light to some soul that don't know Christ. That might just be an invitation. If I don't say, you know, I go to church at this place, that place, if I just let them know that Jesus is still on the throne, if Jesus is still working miracles, if Jesus is still walking the face of the earth today, you might not see Him. You know, He might have the physical features of what they got these paintings around, but Jesus is walking the face of the earth today, because He's walking in me. He's walking in you, because we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. And if we allow Him, He can use us. We can be His vessel, and He can speak through. God can fill the place, or God can empty this place out. Now, two or three, it does not matter, because He's God. He's on the throne, and He has a purpose for each and every one of us. We'll just hold on, hold steadfast, and be used for His glory as He sees fit. And that's what I want to find myself doing. I want to find myself walking in his way. I want to find I want to be an example that God might use me, that I might be able to help somebody. You know, my brother, he's still calling, and you don't know how many years that's been ago, and he knows that I'm still in the same spot. And see, that can be a light to some soul, to let them know there's some steadfastness in God. You don't have to give up. You can hold on until a change comes. That's my favorite scripture in Job. You know, I'm going to hold on until my change comes. And on all the situations Brother Brett was talking about, we've been through the years last night, and he was talking about the catastrophes, and I thought about the flood, you know, in 1978, and I thought, you know, God knows what he's doing. And I still stand on his word that he makes no mistakes. And the fact that I believe that and know that, I want to hold on and see what he's got coming for me in the future. Hallelujah.
Had cancer, we all prayed for her, and she went, she was telling me yesterday, after she was done with all her chemo and she went back to work, they told her that this is her job now, and they took a temporary person and put her in. She had an administrative job, put in with in where her place was, and she had a desk out in the hall, and that's where she was, and she was very distraught about it. She didn't know what to think about it, and she said she kept seeking the Lord, and she'd go to work every day, and her boss kept treating her really bad, and she said, I've just struggled, you know, she'd been struggling with it, and finally the Lord just told her to just go to work every day and to trust him, and they just continued to treat her the way they've been treating her. And anyway, she called me about a month ago, and she said, I got a new job. And I was so excited for her. Anyway, she started her new job, and she said she started it, and she was in training, and the CO, when she went through the interview and everything, the CO was doing most of the interviewing, and she had never been in an interview like that before, and she said it was kind of strange anyway, and she got the job. And his secretary came over to her the other day, and she said, I just wanted to tell you something. The reason you got your job is because the CO, every time he walked by your desk, he saw you there with a smile on your face. He saw how you took all that you were, you know, from your old boss, and how you took all the criticism and everything, and you were put in, you know, in a lower position, and how you took it. And he watched you for a whole year, and he said, that's somebody I want to work for me. And she said, she goes, God is so good, Laura. She goes, she said, because I thought back on it, and the new job she has is, she likes high-pressured kind of jobs, and she's this really high-pressured. She said, for a whole year, I didn't have to hardly do anything, but she had to go through a total mastectomy. She had to go, you know, through two more surgeries. And she said, I couldn't have done it if I'd had a really high-pressured job. So God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And I was talking to Sister Inez this morning, I was thinking, if we seek him, he will direct our path. He will lead us where he wants us to go. And it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, but he knows where we're at and where we're going. And I just love a father who knows how to take care of us, who knows what direction we need to go in. He knows how to take care of us. You know, he spoils us, yes. You were here to get spoiled today. But you know what? He also chastises us, and he gives us what we need what we desire. He's such a good father, and he knows how to take care of us. And I just appreciate the Lord so much for what he's done in my life, and I appreciate what he's doing in y'all's lives too. And I appreciate being here today. Bless the Lord.
Like that, you know, that's the principle right there. Brother Weininger and I was talking just a little bit ago in prayer. That scripture in the Bible says, no chastening for the moment seems joyous, yet grievous. Nevertheless, it yieldeth forth the peaceful fruits of righteousness. And then in everything, give thanks. Brother Weininger was telling me, he said, yeah, you fall down, you break your leg, you come in here and you give God the thanks because you broke your leg. You know, it could have been your neck. But, you know, God, he goes gentle on us first. You know, he hits us with, you know, Brother Tucker used to use an illustration. He said, if you see a man standing on a railroad track, you know, you walk up to him and say, hey, you need to get off this railroad track. And if he don't listen to you, you get a pillow. Hit him with it. I said, get off the railroad track. And if he still won't hear you, then you go get a baseball bat. You come back and you get him off the railroad track. That's the way our Heavenly Father deals with us. You know, he tries to be gentle. And, you know, I was just thinking, there's at least three stories that I know of that are almost exactly the same. I was riding between Little Rock and Memphis, and there's a particular radio station that comes on across there, and I love listening to it. And this lady kept calling this radio station. She said, I got a praise I want to give God. They told her, we ain't taking phone calls right now. She said, I want to give God the praise. I want you to take this phone call. Okay, okay. Almost like the story of the person that had visitors that came and they didn't have any food to feed them. So they, you know, Jesus told this parable. And they knocked on the neighbor's door. And Jesus was making a point. He said, because of their what is that word, importunity. Because of that, the neighbor got up and gave them what they wanted. And because, you know, and Jesus was making a point. Our Heavenly Father, he doesn't answer our prayers because of our, you know, because we're upsetting his wrist, but because he loves us. This lady, she said, I just want to give God the praise. She said, I have been looking for a job, and I have put in applications everywhere. I lost my job, and I wasn't getting any kind of an answer anywhere. And she said, I got a phone call from somebody that I hadn't even put in an application for. And they hired me. They gave me the money I wanted, and they hired me. This lady was so excited. She was just absolutely beside herself. I was about to fall out of my truck laughing. I thought that was so funny. I said, that is wonderful. She said, nobody can tell me that that ain't God. And I was thinking the same thing. I said, I know it. Now, you know, you ever talk to yourself when, you know, when there's nobody else to talk to, you know, you know, said, I know it. You know, yes, that was God. I know it was. Well, come back home. And this situation that existed, I told this person, I said, that could happen to you. And would you believe it did? I can't tell you who it was because I told not to. But it happened. Our Heavenly Father watches over us. Now, my daughter, Jamie, she told me on the phone. I was talking to her earlier if I talked to Jamie. I know sometimes it's hard to believe she's really my daughter, but she called me. Or I called her. That's what it was. Anyway, we're just making arrangements just to get together, you know, just to spend time together. You know, when your children grow up and they leave the house and you're suffering from that empty nest syndrome, then you try to find every way you can to get together with your children, you know, so you can keep on being mean to them. You're mean to them all the time they're growing up. You want to just keep on being mean to them. So anyway, she was telling me that almost that same story happened to her. She's trying to get her feet under her, you know, and her and Anthony did do a good job. You know, Anthony is a great person. I couldn't have asked for a better son-in-law. I mean, he is really great. And Jamie's a great daughter, too. I couldn't ask for a better daughter. Oh, by the way, they're sick today. I don't know if y'all got that message. Or at least they were sick last night. So I'm assuming they're still sick today. That's why they're not here. I'm hoping they hadn't backslid. I don't think they have. Anyway, she was telling me that same thing almost happened to her. She's putting in applications everywhere. And she got a job for one she didn't even put in an application for. Is there a God or what? You know, is there a God? Nobody can tell me that all of this stuff just happenstance, by luck, just falls into place. It's almost like trying to say the universe fell into place. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? Isn't that the craziest? Anyway, but you know, it's an attitude. And these are principles that we learn right here. I know, you look around and you say, oh, we're just another church just like anybody else. And I agree, we're just people. I'm just a person. Now, I'm not trying to pretend to be anything else other than what I am. It wouldn't do any good anyway. You all know me. So, and people I work with know me after a while. I tell them, I say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to start being quiet. They said, Paul, you're just a liar. You're not going to be quiet. I said, yeah, I know. I'm not going to be quiet. I love talking to people. I can't help it. But the attitude that Sister Durham was talking about a while ago, that lady had, her sister. You know, if we give thanks to God, like Brother Weininger was telling me a while ago, in all things, we put off an aura that people feel. And they see it. And they look at us and they say, that person has no reason to be happy. But they are anyway. You know, and especially when we have Jesus in our life, we have a reason to be happy. We have hope. Brother Painter was talking last night about this world is a crazy world we live in. Crazy. Okay, hang on. I just lost my point. It's a crazy world we live in. What was I talking about before? You folks forgive me. I'm doing this more and more. Yeah, I was talking about people's attitudes. This is a crazy world we live in. And people's attitudes is going the way they're going. I was going to make another point. I can't remember what I was. I hate it when I do that. But anyway, that lady, she was portraying, I was talking about we have hope in Jesus. That's what I was trying to say. When we have Jesus, we have hope. We have, and especially here, the way we're taught. We're it's almost funny, but it's really not that the others out here don't have that hope, but we have it. And trying to tell these people, trying to share this hope with these people. It's like Jesus told them people when he was here. He said, you having eyes, you see not. And you having ears, you hear not. You're going to walk right up to a person and look them straight in the eye and start trying to tell them what we have. You start trying to share the hope. And they look at you and they see your lips moving. But it's like they can't hear you. Can't hear you. I'd just like to say, I appreciate God helping me. God helping me. I was going to make a point with what Brother Durham said last night. Not Brother Durham, but Brother Painter. I can't remember what I was going to say. We live in a world where people can't hear us. And we have that hope. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we've got that hope. I'm thankful that God, you know, sometimes you have to slap yourself. And especially when you get the Bible out and you start reading God's Word and you read where all through history God dealt with people. And there was people that responded. And then there was people that turned their back on Him. I was reading in the New Testament. I'd like to make this point. I've heard our minister say we live in the best time. And I always thought, how could they say that? If you'd have been back there with Jesus, how much greater could it have been? Well, when Jesus was here, that church was in its full bloom. And it went downhill after He left. The apostles, you know, they kept it. And then upon their departure, you know, it started going downhill. Even people don't know that. I've just figured it out lately with everybody saying it around me for years. But that church went down, went down, went down, went down. I was reading where Paul was talking, and it sounded like he was a bit depressed. But now, and so it was almost like those people really didn't have anything to look forward to. You know, it was going down. But we live in a time where it's going up, going up, going up. We have something to look forward to. I was reading through that, and I thought, wow, we really are living in the best time. We're living in a time where we can look forward to the church escalating, escalating, escalating. And I know the whole world still won't know about it. So it'll be like a thief in the night to people that are blind or deaf. But to people that can see, it won't be like a thief in the night. Because we're children of the day. That's what, which one was it wrote that letter and told him, Paul? He said, you are not of the night that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. But you're children of the day. And that's what we are. We're children of the day. And I was reading through that. And I thought, God, how is it possible that I'm a part of this? Maybe only a little bitty part. Maybe that's all any one of us is. Just a little bitty part. Like that steeple. A sister had a dream. She dreamed there was a... Yeah, Sister Slazer. A sister we had here a long time ago. Wonderful person. She was married to a man that was an atheist. And her sons didn't serve God. She was surrounded by people that didn't serve God. And that woman get up and start testifying. It was funny. She would start, you know, she'd start talking. She started slapping that foot on that floor. She acted like she was so happy. Now, you might say, why would that woman be happy? She was up in years, and she knew she was going to leave the scene of action before the church reached its fullness. But she had hope. She had hope. And I was going to make a point with saying that one, too. Oh, yes, yeah, that woman had a dream. She dreamed there was a fence around the field. And in that fence, the fence was being held up by staples. And she was one of those staples. That's enough to make you excited right there. If we could just be a staple. I said, what is it? Who was it that said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than David? Yeah, than to dwell in the tents of the wicked for a season. If we could just be a staple. If we can just be one that holds it together, helps hold it together. We ain't going to do it by ourselves. You can't hold a fence together with one staple. But with a whole bunch of them, you can do it. I was reading them. I said, God, how in the world can I be so blessed? You know, those people in that early church, there was people all around them that was trying their best to belittle them, trying their best to beat them down mentally, trying their best to even kill them physically. But they held on to God. They held on to God because they had hope. And that's what we got. We got that. I thought, Lord, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be a part of your kingdom. I'm so happy to be here. That principle that Sister Durham was talking about. We learn that. We learn those kind of things here. We can be a light just by applying them principles. I'm happy to be a part.
play it and sing. And you know, all these thoughts running around in my mind together, but I always kind of feel iffy about this song because the chorus kind of could be taken to sound a little negative, I guess, like it's focusing on losing and God taking away, but I don't know. It's true anyway. It's got all truth, and Sister Tally made the comment, God makes no mistakes, and that's one of the lines in here, and then Sister Durham talking about, you know, how God uses things and has a plan, and I've seen that. I know I've seen that several times in my own life where God took things where it seemed like everything was just coming to an end, you know? And we've all been there at times where you just feel like, why? You know? What now? And what I was thinking here about so many different things in the Bible and, you know, great men that God was able to use, and but what got them to that point that he could use them? What got King David, or just David before he was king, what got him to the point that God could use him? He had to fight a lion. He had to fight a bear. He had to fight a giant before he could become king. And Joseph, before God could use them to save his people, what did he have to go through for God to get him to that point where he could become great? And Paul, the Apostle Paul, what did he have to go through? You know, the imprisonment and all the things that he had to go through. We kind of tend to forget that and put that part on the side. Yeah, just bypass that part of the story on the good to the good part, you know, kind of like a book you want to check at the end and just not go through, you know. But All of that had to come. All of that had to be there. They would not have been able to be what God wanted them to be and be used the way he wanted to use them if they hadn't gone through and responded to those things first. And so that's just what's going on in my mind with all this today, is God, whatever. And it seems like my life has got one thing after the other right now. I know I'm not the only one. Stress on every side, things coming at us from every direction. But he's God. He's God. I don't know if I can even get the right key. I haven't done this in ages. As a child, I could not see what God really meant to me. Though in childhood I was taught to kneel and pray, but God has blessed me through the years, and this thought is always clear. What God has given, he can take away. Oh, if God could choose, I could lose everything in a moment's time. All I have belongs to him. Through My God makes no mistakes. His choice is always right. Oh, if God should choose, I could lose everything in a moment's time. All I have belongs to Him anyway. Thank you.
appreciate that song, Sister Stewart. Really, you know, it could sound negative, but it's truthful. It's really not negative. It's God making choices. But at the same time, we're the one that gives God the sign whether he makes a choice in our life or not. It's by our choices causes God to make his choice. I appreciate being here today and feeling this good covering that we have. Thank God. My mind has been bombarded with thoughts and ideas, and I thought, Lord, we're here to magnify your name, to lift you up and to bless your people and try to say something or do something that would encourage everyone that's here. You know, I look around and I'm thinking, Lord, you've been so good to us. And when I say us, me especially, because, you know, I was raised in the country. I know what the term plowboy means. I know what the term clodhopper means. And some of you city folks, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about when I make those statements. But I remember back when I was a boy, the way we brushed our teeth is we got a glass of water, put toothpaste on our toothbrush, went outside. Early in the morning, you know, I'd brush my teeth before I went to school, and in the springtime, especially this time of the year, if you go outside early in the morning, you'll catch the doves calling each other. I got to where that I could mimic them real good. And they'd actually talk back to me. I was that good. But a dove gives a strong call, and then I think it coos, what, 4 or 5 times after the main call? And wasn't until I got to this body of people that I kind of understood what was going on. My Lord, I was talking to the doves, but the dove was really talking to me. Spirit of God was dealing with my life, and even as a young boy growing up, and I thought as I got older and I began to turn my life toward God, you have to realize that we're all people. We, you know, this is God's kingdom, by the way. And, you know, the United States is a kingdom. All the countries of the world, they're actually kingdoms. You know, they may not have a king over them, but they got somebody that's in charge. And, but God has a kingdom in the world. You know, and it's hard for people to understand that God has a kingdom in the world. It's not... We don't have a full manifestation of the Spirit of God yet. We don't have a full show of the power of God. We don't have a full understanding of the Word of God. But God still has a kingdom in this world, and we're a part of it. We're a part of it. I was telling my wife on the way into church today, I said, you know, it's strange when you think about. You can go back. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine this morning for a few minutes, and he's going to a church not too far from where we live. And I said, you know, it's strange how that people stick to old ideas. You know, I said, the Methodists, they held on to the ideas of the Methodist movement when the Baptists come along and give a scriptural, intelligent verification of water baptism. But the Methodists wouldn't accept it. They rejected it. You know. And then I said, and then the Pentecostal people come along. And they proved scripturally that the Holy Ghost was right. It was real. Give demonstrations of it. Now these demonstrations, please don't hold me too tight on this point, but you know, when people see people that actually yield to the Holy Ghost, there are some strange things that goes through your mind. Like, what in the world is that guy drinking to act like that? Or what kind of what kind of dope did they take in order to get them to act like? And especially in front of a whole church house full of people. You know. But let me give you this little story to kind of help your thoughts a little bit. A man that drinks alcohol, you know, he's not really too proud of it. Not really. They'll sneak off down to the booze place and they'll buy this jug and they'll put it in a paper bag and they'll stick it in their pocket, walk out and go down the street. They don't really want to drink that in a general open public. Not really. A lot of them don't anyway. But they'll start drinking some of this stuff, and the more they drink, the less inhibited, isn't that a good word, or is it? They become. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that they get to a point after a while where that the general idea of the public doesn't affect them. You know, if they were to walk up to me when they started out and they see, you know, and I've seen them drinking, they would be bothered by what I thought of them, or what they think that I thought anyway. But he gets enough of that liquid inside of him, he could walk right up to me and it wouldn't bother him in the least what I thought about him. You know, he doesn't care. This Holy Ghost we're talking about affects you a whole lot the same way. You may think, well, I don't want to ever act like that. You know, you're afraid of the general populace thought. You know, you're afraid of public opinion. That's the word that I'm trying to work up to. You're afraid there's going to be somebody sitting here thinking, my God, look at the way he's acting or she's acting. I can't believe they'd act like that. Well, let me tell you something. You're wrong in your idea. First off, all of us has got the Holy Ghost, or most of us have. We know what it's like. We've been here, done some of that. We've got enough of this on the inside of us that we don't care what the public opinion is anymore, right? We don't care. Because we know that it's real. It'll do something for your life that nothing else will. Hallelujah. You got to keep drinking it, though. You can't leave it sitting on the shelf. Just because it gets older doesn't mean it gets better. You got to keep drinking this stuff. You know, keep on getting some of it. It'll do you some good. In fact, it'll do you more good than anything you can get. And anyway, you know, these Baptists, they've rejected the Holy Ghost, or the message of the Holy Ghost so far. Then the body of Christ come along, and the Pentecostal people, they've held on to these old ideas in their minds. Who in the world do they think they are? What makes them think they're better than anybody else? It's not that we think that way. It's just a fact. We cannot tell people we're not the body of Christ. If we did, we'd be lying. You know, and if they come in here and they say, well, I'm part of the body of Christ. And if they're not a part of it, they're lying. Isn't that strange? Two people, one of them can say it, and they're telling the truth, and the other one can say it, and they're lying. But if we reject this, we're not, you know. But I'm working on this other side right now. But the Pentecostal people, they see and hear some of the things that we say. My God, where in the world did you come up with that from? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why? Because it does not agree with the established knowledge that they have. Who was it made mention here earlier that we can talk to people and they can't hear us? My brother, I think, made the statement. But we're not here because of our goodness. We're not here because of our righteousness. We're not here because of any great exploits that we've done. We're here because God dealt with our hearts. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank God! And since He invited us in and we accepted and here we are, aren't you glad we're here? You know, I'll be honest with you. If we'd have met back yonder before I got here and kind of changed my ideas, some of you fellas would have been in trouble. I didn't see what we see today. I didn't understand it. I didn't have the feelings that I have today. But I'll tell you what, if God can love this world like He did, and if Jesus can come here and love humanity like He did, I may still have a ways to go, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm a lot better shape now than I was when I got here. Hallelujah. That's important. We're constantly going through a change. And the reason we're going through some of these changes is because of the things that we're hearing from the Word of God. That's changing us. You come in here and you hear this and you think, I got it, you know. But there's some of the things that I heard when I first got here that made more sense to me than anything I'd ever heard before in my life. And I'd been going to church. In fact, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in another church. Wasn't in the body of Christ. But here, we're here today because God put us here. God put us here. Aren't you glad that He did? I driving across some of the country out there where I lived yesterday and turned the radio on my truck. This guy was talking about some of the hidden mysteries in the Word of God. You know, and when I say he was talking about them, let me say this. He wasn't explaining them. He was making an alibi for not getting an understanding of some of these things. You know, he referred to Daniel, you know, that Daniel was asking God to give him an understanding of some things that He had given him. And God told him, said, Daniel said, just put it up. That's sealed from you. You know, it'll come to pass. But what he was doing is he was using it to say, there's things that's sealed that you're not going to understand until it happens. And I can understand some of that. But look, when you go into the book of Hebrews and you find there four major doctrines, the doctrine of laying on of hands, the doctrine of eternal judgment, the doctrine of resurrections, and the other one. Baptisms, that's it, thank you. When that's listed in the book of Hebrews, it looks to me like that people could read that and say, look, there are some things that we ought to understand. They're mentioned here, but nobody's telling us anything about it. And this guy really made a bad mistake because then he stepped over into resurrections, which is one of my... one of my favorites. Thank you. That's a good word. I like that. I like resurrections. But he said he had people to come up to him and ask him, said, look, you know, we lost little Johnny at 4 years old. We know that he's in heaven. But when we see him again, will he be a grown man? He said, there's some things you just don't understand. I'm sitting there in my truck, and I done a Paul David. I was talking to myself. I'm thinking, you nitwit. What in the world is wrong with you? You can understand some of these things. You can get a knowledge of it. You can understand it. We've got young people sitting in our church that knows more about resurrections than a lot of the big preachers out here in the world. Let me say something to you young folks. Listen to me real careful. This song that Sister Stewart just sung. We've got silver and gold. We are sitting in a gold mine today. We're sitting in a gold mine. There's gold all over this church house. It's down in the hearts of the people that are sitting here. But if you was to get them started talking, like they was talking here today in their testimonies, and you get to listening to them, some of that gold starts shining out and the silver that's coming on out of their spirits and out of their hearts and out of their beings, you would realize we've got a gold mine. Hallelujah. Thank God. My Lord, we can't help it. We really can't help it that we have these things. It's God give them to us. And we do recognize that all of it belongs to Him. Everything that we have, everything we are, everything that we ever will be, it's because of Him. It's Him that's doing the work, not we ourselves. But God's doing the work in our lives. And if we'll stay on the job, if we'll stay here, keep on working, don't you know that He can finish the work that He started in our lives? Hallelujah, we can come out on the other side, perfect overcomers. Hallelujah, make the bride of Jesus Christ rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years and live on earth through the ceaseless ages of eternity. This friend that I was talking to and worked with yesterday morning, he's 81 years of age. He'll be 82 in November. He looked at me and I told him I was 71. He said, oh, he said, you're still just a young man. You're still just a sprout. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm just a sprout, it sure took me a long time to get out of the ground. You know, this boy knows something about sprouts. You know, you take a seed and you put it in the ground, you know, and then the sunshine, you know, it gets a little water. Oh, you know something about sprouts too. And then that sunshine starts shining on it. And that ground gets warm enough, it causes that seed to sprout. Of course, we don't know that until it comes out of the ground. You know, we don't know that it's laying there and it has died. That seed completely died. But in its death, it opened up and new life started. Hallelujah. That's what happened to us. That's what happened to me anyway, and I'm pretty sure it happened to everybody else too. The Word of God's settled in our hearts. We've heard it. We've listened to it. But the first things that I heard was, get saved. Repent of your past sins. That was a seed that was planted in my heart. I went to an old-fashioned altar and I repented. I said, oh God, would you forgive me? Would you give me a chance to work for you, live for you? And I heard another message. Another seed was planted. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thought, man alive, if that's better than what I've got so far, I want that too. But it was a seed that was planted in my heart. And the sun began to shine on it. Got a little bit of water. You know, the Spirit of God touched my life. Got a little bit of water, and then the sun began to shine on it. Woo! That seed died. But in its death, it produced a new life in my life. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, folks, you'll get to a place if you want it bad enough, you don't care what people are thinking about you. It's not the people that you're trying to save, it's your own soul. Don't worry about other people. Worry about your soul. Get saved. Get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And listen to the Word of God as it begins to come forth. You'll hear these things. And there's something about it when you hear it, it'll click in your mind. Ah, Lord, it'll click. Then every once in a while, you'll hear something that'll really touch your soul. And you feel this Holy Ghost get alive on the inside that confirms in your heart that this is the truth. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Ray, it's good to see you here today. I'm just sharing my heart with you today just for a little bit anyway. Brother Paul David made mention of scriptures a while ago when he's up speaking. The book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, I think it is, yes. 4th chapter and the 13th verse. And we've heard this, I don't know how many times. But he's talking to the Thessalonians about, he's talking to them about death, really is what he's talking to them about. But if you get to checking, who was somebody here a while ago made the statement of concerning sleep? Who was that? Whom? Brother Painter last night. Yes, thank you, Brother Painter. And several times in the scripture, it refers to, in fact, let me give you one of them for sure that just really stands out. Makes a statement concerning the people that died down through died down through the Old Testament times. And it makes a statement, said, many of the saints which slept arose and went into the city and were seen of many. If we're not careful, we can get into this ideal that people that pass away are dead. They're gone. But you know, Jesus doesn't look at things like we do. Aren't you glad he doesn't? Many of the saints which slept, they were just asleep. Never mind somebody buried them in the ground and, you know, throw dirt over them and, you know. Really, all that was is just some cover that, you know, God kept them covered up all those years. But they arose and went to the city and were seen of many. And Paul's carrying that thought on through here. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We've got a hope here today. Do you realize it, folks? We've got a hope. Brett Weininger made the statement last night. Let me recall it right quick, if I can, that we have a hope. As he seen his son's taillights go out of sight, his hope was he'd get help. That was his hope. That was a hope. But his hope that he has in Christ far exceeds that one. Far exceeds that one. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. That's the secret. When we go to sleep, we need to go to sleep in Jesus. Amen. I want to get into more Jesus tonight or today than I've ever been in my life. I appreciate him. I'm thankful for what he's doing in my life. I'm really thrilled with what God's doing. And the fact that he's doing something among us. Look, we're people with so much hope. It's unreal how much hope we have. Really, it's unreal. And we start telling people about it, like Brother Paul David had mentioned. You know, we look them in the eye and we see they're at home, but there's no lights on. And we say, we got hope! And they look at us like, well, what's that? They don't know. And they don't understand. That's all right. We'll get gathered back together with each other. And when we look at each other now, we say, we got hope. We see the lights are on. We see they're home. Hallelujah. We're excited about what we have in Jesus. Anyway, though, so them also would sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. How many times we heard that made mention or told, you know, that there's some of you folks here tonight or today. I don't know why I want to talk like it's tonight, but it's not yet, is it? There's some of you folks sitting here today that are going to still be alive when the church is restored. When the fullness of the manifestation of God comes to its fruition, comes to the forefront. There's some of you that's going to still be alive. But the thing of it is, you're not going to stop some of us, which has gone on, you know, and went to sleep for a while. You're not going to stop us. We're going to be here. We're going to come back to see you one more time. For a little while anyway, to finish up our course. Oh, what a hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then where is that other scripture talking about of the times and the seasons? I would not have you ignorant. You have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let me stop there. Folks, we've got a lot to thank God for. A lot to thank God for. And life, I'm sorry to say that life is going to bring us problems. Last night, Brother Painter made mention that one of the writers of old made the statement to the effect that life is full of trouble, and we're not going to be immune from that. We're not set apart from the troubles of life. But we put this little tag on it. If we'll hold on to Christ through every problem that we have, he will give us the solution that we stand in need of. And I realize that we can all get into situations where we think there is no way out. Brother Painter, I really appreciated your talk last night. I got much, much good out of it. But in every situation, God gives us a way out. God gives us a way out. Can I emphasize that a little harder? God gives us a way out. Hear what I'm saying? Trust in God. That's what Brother Tyler told us here. We'll put our trust in Him. He'll find a way to get us out of it. Hallelujah. You say, well, yeah, but I've done this. And I've done... God can get us out of it. God can get us out of it. If He can get us out of sin in the world, cause us to come to the altar and repent, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God can get us out of it. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. I know that I'm preaching myself under conviction here. You know, this next week may be a real tar cooler for me because of what I'm saying here today. You know, it's easy to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And we're going to all have the opportunity to walk this walk. Every one of us are. And, you know, we've got some people here that's gone through some real tragedies in their lives. They know how to talk to us. They know how to help us if we'll get to them. Brother Tally, I don't mind going to him with some problems that I might have. Brother Daniels has been through some things. Other men, I'm sure Brother Durham, you haven't always had a street of gold, have you? Didn't think so. Pardon me. All right. We're still on the right road. Hallelujah. Thank God. I know that we have so many needs among us. And when I come to church, this is some of my ideas that I have in the back of my mind that causes me to work and to worship. We cannot, within ourselves, we cannot help some conditions that we have right here among us. We can't do it. I wish we could. But we'd probably fall into the danger zone that Brother Painter was talking to us about last night. If we'd done it within ourselves, we would be dangerous people to be around. But I know that we're serving one who can. If we can touch Him in the right way, if we can get Him and draw His Spirit into our midst in the right way, into the right depth, I know that some of these conditions can walk right out of here and be over. And we'll have to give Him the credit. We have to give Him the credit. We're not... I don't know how I want to put this exactly, but... You know, we're not great one-time healers. Not saying that there won't be somebody come along with the gift of healing in their lives and touch people and get them healed. I think that's coming. But my ideas on it may be wrong at this point. I'm not going to go into that, but I do know that it's coming. But I also know that right now, not way down the road down there someplace, but today, if we can get into the Spirit deep enough, if we can get the Spirit of God in here deep enough, and I'm not talking about just swimming depth, I'm talking about deep enough, that these people that really need a touch for their physical beings, they can get that touch and go away from here a different individual. And all of us, every one of us, needs some kind of a touch in our physical being. Hallelujah. We need a touch. Ah, Lord, these are some of the things that's on the back of my mind when I come into church. I want to come in here and worship God. I want to come in here and lift Him up. not just for my benefit, but for the benefit of those that I can't help. I can't do anything for them other than pull God into our midst. If I can do that, Brother Painter, and they go away from here a different individual, healed of their diseases. Hallelujah, don't you know that we would all be thankful and thrilled out of our gourds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I'm working, I'm laboring. Every time I come to church, I'm laboring because I want to see these people delivered. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Brother Tucker had talked to us back years ago and trained us in these thought patterns. When you come to church, you're not coming to church to tell everybody about your problems. He said, when you come through the front door, this is what he told us. He said, I want you to shuck all that jacket of problems that you have and leave them right outside the door. Don't bring them in here. Leave them outside the door. He said, come in here and worship God. Pull the Spirit into our midst. Let God do something. Hallelujah. Be open-hearted. Be open-minded. Allow God to move in our midst to do something for the people of God. And he said, when you leave tonight or after the service, he said, those problems will still be waiting on you. You can pick them up and take them home with you if you want to. He said, I'll guarantee you, every one of you will not pick up anybody else's jacket. There's not anybody here that wants to trade jackets with me. And I don't want to trade jackets with you either. We'll get our own jackets. While we're in service, we're here to worship God. We're here to get the Spirit of God as deep as we can get it. We was watching a program this morning where they was talking about what they call them serpents of the deep. I don't remember what they call them things now. Somebody else may have seen the same program. But they stated to the effect that that water was 8 miles deep. It's just off the coast of Italy, I believe it was, or Spain, which one was it? Over there in the Mediterranean Sea. But they said that water was 8 miles deep. And I thought, my Lord, that's going down a while. How would you like to come into a service and get the Spirit of God 8 miles deep? Woo! My Lord. If I were to get into a service like that, I might pick up everybody's jacket on the way out. Me and Jesus, we can take care of all these problems. Mostly just Jesus. He can take care of all the problems. I'm just carrying the jackets. We've all got problems. We've all got conditions. And that's one of the goals that I have in my mind when I come into a service. Lord, would you come into our midst? Oh, God, I don't care how you do it. You know, I don't care how you do it. But Lord, we surely need it done. We need it done. We need it done. You know, if the Spirit just slays everybody and nobody even knows what happens. You know, we come back to the next service, they stand up and say, my Lord, we had such a good service the other night or the other day. And God touched me. My body's healed. Whoo, what would that do for you? My Lord. I'm excited about it because I know it's going to happen, Brother Ray. It's going to take place. And it doesn't just have to happen because of a physical ailment, but it can happen to us in every facet of our lives. That's what I want to encourage about. And we don't have to wait. That's the point. We don't have to wait 5 years, 10 years. But God can do that today. Hallelujah. You can leave this service today a different individual. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you folks, there's things in God we haven't touched yet. Woo! You think you got problems. Nobody's chasing you to kill you. Nobody's trying to, you know, take you and pick you up and take you off to jail because of what you believe. Nobody's bothering us right now. Kind of glad they don't. You know, back a few years ago, if I'd heard that they was coming after me, they'd have had a hard time getting to me. But I could run like a deer and I could leap like one too. I could clear a lot of fences between me and them. I realize that things have gotten so sophisticated now, you know, I mean, you can run if you want to. They got all these different cameras and different types of stuff that they can spot you, you know, from way out in space someplace. You know, they didn't have them 50 years ago. But look, folks, we're working on a project. We're working on God's kingdom. Keep on coming on. Now I want to take us to the Lord in prayer. You know, we have so many needs among us. You know, we got our list of them. Aren't we thrilled that Brother and Sister Smith have got another great grandbaby? I don't know if any of you have looked on Facebook and seen the picture of this young fella. He's got a lot more hair than I got. Kind of, you know, if I could, I'd almost be envious. And I also recognize, you know, that through life, he's going to have to keep it combed a certain way, you know, take care of it. My days of doing that's just about over. But aren't we glad to be here today and to know, I want you to know that God is interested in this, that he's doing something for us, and we'll do a lot more if we'll begin to raise our faith and our confidence in him. Brother Wilson, we need to remember him in prayer. Sister Watson, Brother Larry Bryant. Thank you, Sister Karen Bryant. Sister Karen Golden, I'm sorry, is sick. Who else? Some brother and Sister Crow. All right. Brother Ray. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. You and Sister Sue both. These are your grandsons that are with you today. We're glad to have them with us. Amen. You'll expose them to this. There'll be some of those that are still here when this thing is winded up. We'll get back up and join them. Okay? All right. Anyone else? Sister Lisa. And then all of our youth. Can I just name all of you and say, look, you need God in your lives. We appreciate the God that you do have. I'm thrilled for it. All right, who else? Sister Abraham and her family. All right. Pardon? Yes, the Thompson family. They're sick today. All right. Has that got everybody's name listed? Brother Johnson and his wife. Alrighty. Can you get us a song for receiving the offering? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. All right, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer and receive our offering. Thank God for this day, for his love, for this service. Lord, touch our minds and our hearts, oh God. Lord, would you come into our midst and touch these special needs today? Oh, God, be thankful, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, we need you in our midst today. We need your help, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Lord, thank you for these young men that are working in our church today. Brother Painter and Brother Phil Fisher, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, touch their lives. Touch their families, Lord. Keep them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch Brother and Sister Crow, Goldens. Lord, Brother Larry Bryant, all these that needs a special touch here today, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
He's got my world in the palm of his hand. No need to fear. He's in command. Dark clouds may come and go, but this one thing I know, he's got my world in the palm of his hand. He's got my world
whole weekend. Had an opportunity to come here and worship the name of the Lord, be with His wonderful people. Here and yesterday, Brother Painter bringing a wonderful message last night, and the thought of that God, He has perfected praise. He's perfected strength in praise. When we came in here today, we were lifting up the name of the Lord. You could feel His touch. You could feel that wonderful Spirit. Thank the Lord we have that today. We're a people that knows we can call on His name. We have that Holy Ghost that we can call on. We do have hope. We do have that. I was thinking of Sister Durham was talking about her sister. You know what she had right there? Was she endured. If she had turned her face, if she had quit, see, she wouldn't have got that blessing in the end. She wouldn't have been able to get what she got. But that person seeing that example that she had been setting, she put that principle, like it's been talked about, to endure. She endured that temptation, and God saw her through it and rewarded her. As Sister Tally was mentioning about, you know what, sometimes we may not say anything. We may not, but it's that light that God in us that shines out in this dark world and can lead those people here. Whenever it is, it's in His time. But let's be that light this week. Let's shine a little brighter. Let's say, Lord, that Holy Ghost I felt on Sunday, Lord, let someone else feel that. Let me have a word of encouragement. Let me say something that might give someone a little bit of that hope that I have. And on that song that Sister Stewart, that she sang, this was what I really took out of it. I will follow where He leads, wherever He leads, for He knows what's best for me. And then what's that last line? He makes no mistakes. Right there is enough of a message for 2 or 3 weeks, let me just tell you. If we'll just chew on that as clean animals, if we'll know, Lord, wherever You lead me, I will go wherever You say, Lord. If You say, you know, Brother Painter was talking about people when he's saying, you know, if He says jump, how high? We want to know, we want to hear, because we're God's children and we're His sheep and we know His voice. When God says go, we're going. So let's take that with us this week. I appreciate being able to be here with my brothers and sisters and feel this wonderful spirit we've had today. It's been a wonderful weekend. We have Wednesday night coming up, Bible study. Come out, have questions. Look, how about we really do this to Brother Smith? Don't anyone tell him. Shh. But whenever he says, does anyone have any Bible questions? What if we all raised our hand? Wouldn't that just shock him to death? I'm just saying, I think that'd be pretty fun. And then he could just say, oh, you know. Anyway, but look, 7:30. Wednesday night, it's been a blessing so far, the way we've had these new service changes. Come as you are, there to receive God's word. And then next Saturday night, and I would just like to give a hand clap to the youth and those that are working. Hasn't it been really nice Saturday night? Have an opportunity to eat together, have that fellowship like we've had in the past. Isn't that been a good thing that they've been doing? Appreciate the youth. We want to help them and to put this message further in their heart. So, have a wonderful week. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, but let's just remember to follow Him wherever He leads. Lord, we appreciate You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for this opportunity to come and fill Your Spirit. We love You so much, God. We depend on You, Lord. You're our Father. Oh, Jesus, You will not turn us away, dear God. We love You and we appreciate You. Keep Your hands on those that weren't here today, Lord. Keep Your hand on Brother and Sister Smith. They travel back home, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, and help us to be a witness and a light in this world, Lord. Oh, God, to follow You in Your wonderful name. Thank You, Lord. Shake hands and be friendly.